Is the mic on? Episode 61. What's wrong with Orny Adams? I always forget. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe and share. I always forget one. Like, subscribe, share. Everyone else gets this right. I can't. Like, subscribe, share, write a review. Like, share, subscribe, send me your kidney. Just send me your kidney. It's really hard groveling. It really is. So much to catch you up on. It's unbelievable. But I finally cracked what drives me nuts about self-checkout. I know everyone's talked about this self-checkout, but the other day I'm doing it, and I'm going to get into why, but I had to replace a part on my toilet. Like, glamorous life of mine. I was on a private jet, and then 10 hours later, I'm replacing a part on a toilet. So I'm doing self-checkout. Like, it's so insulting that we have to check ourselves out, and we're forced to do it because they don't put people on the registers anymore. You see a line of registers, you look around, there's 20 registers and then one person on it. One person. So now, I'm just sitting there. Ding, ding. You know, it's mindless. Ding, ding, ding. And I look up. This is when it gets really insulting. And there's an employee watching me. Okay? Their job is to watch me do their job. I'm doing their job. They're watching. It's like I'm in training. It's insulting. They get to sit there and do nothing while I do all the work. And then, dang, dang. And I mock them. I look at them and go, look at me. Look at this. No training. I got this. Look at this. Huh? Oh, by the way, I'm going on break in about 5 minutes. Oh, yeah. It's just, this world. Why aren't we objecting to everything more? I guess maybe we are. Maybe we are. Well, it's official. The episode is started. Here is the theme song, What's Wrong with Orny Adams? Little Friend, that's me. Boy, I have become a mental invalid. I just can't. My thoughts, I don't know if it's long COVID, really long COVID, extremely long COVID. I don't know if it's just I've lost my mind. Maybe I've lost my mind. Maybe that's wrong. What's wrong with Orny Adams? He's lost his mind. What's wrong with Orny Adams? Lost his mind. I'm going to talk about physical therapy for my knee, going on tour with Howie Mandel. That explains the private jet because, you know, I'm not getting it on my own. We're going to talk about my new replica Eames chair. We're going to talk about Ken and Orny repair things, which includes a toilet bowl. Which includes a toilet bowl for all you people that think that I'm not a man of the people. I am. Maybe you've seen the video online. Talk about going to the hardware store. Boy, I get no respect there. Talk about the fan that came up to me at the hardware store. And we're going to talk about oil changes. I don't know. The Army Hammer document. What do you want to talk about? Want to talk about my video on YouTube? I feel rejuvenated. I have a second wind. I feel reborn. I feel a sense of hope. I feel a surge. I feel excitement. Because I begrudgingly, now one of the missteps I made during COVID, my agent, who's now my manager, said, hey, put your last special, More Than Loud, up on YouTube. And I said, no way, not giving it away for free. Let's sell it. Let's sell it to another streamer. Let's sell it in conjunction, combination with, let's package it. And give it to, you know, one of these streamers. I'll do a new special. Here's my old special, which I feel like is still relevant. And I didn't put it up there. And I missed another trend. I'm really good at missing trends. In case you ever know. Like, I hate trends. I've talked about it before. Like, in high school, when everyone started to use, like, certain expressions. I didn't use that. I didn't want to be one of the flock. I sat on the perimeter. I said, I'm going to be original. Same with clothing. Everybody would wear the same clothing. And you know what? Screw me. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm the least original dresser. I'm like jeans and black t-shirt. Like, I'm boring. If somebody could find me style, That's really the missing element in my career, besides just a career in general, is I have no sense of style. There's nothing unique. I'm not like a Keith Richards. There's no sense of style. But I hate fads. I hate gimmicks. That's why I hate TikTok. It's everybody doing the same thing, thinking they're all cute and original. It's a lot of sheepism. Okay? But one of the missteps I made was not putting More Than Loud on YouTube, because that is the place to be right now as a stand-up comedian. And I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to jinx it. I'm somewhat superstitious, but I'm shocked and so pleased at what is happening with my special on YouTube. And I couldn't be more grateful. Of course, under that video, I'm writing subscribe, like, whatever, you know, all that stuff. And by the way, thank you to all my Patreons. I like you guys a little bit more than the other people. The Patreon people are paying to see the video a few weeks ahead of everybody else, the video for this podcast. Of course, this is on iTunes and Spotify and Google and other places like that. But under my video, yes, I'm telling everybody, let's get this YouTube stuff going, because maybe I'll put up Takes the Third, and then maybe I'll shoot my new hour and I'll just go right to YouTube, because that seems to be the place to be. People aren't buying comedy like they used to, and certainly not taking risks and on people like me for whatever reason. You can fill in the blank there. So I put it up there, and every day I wake up, I have my cup of coffee. Here it is right here. The formula is I make a big cup of coffee. I drink about a third of it, and I eat, and I watch a little TV, and then I jump up, and I go, gotta work. And then I never finish the coffee. You'll see, I don't know if you can see it in there, but I'll never finish this. And what I do is I put it in the fridge. Later, it becomes iced coffee. What a treat. Why does iced coffee taste like a frap? You know, a milkshake. Frap is East Coast. In Boston, we call them fraps. People from out of town call them frappes, F-R-A-P-P-E. So I indulge myself. And I respond because it means so much to me, having been in this business for so long, to see a response like this. I'm being introduced to all new people, and very little reference to Teen Wolf under the video, which is fantastic. There's a few, hey, coach, but how cool, because, you know, the Teen Wolf people, you guys had your chance to jump on the Orny Adams stand-up comedy bandwagon, but you didn't. You didn't. You just saw me as coach. I'm just your coach. Meanwhile, I'm over there. You can watch me alone on stage for an hour, and it's basically the same character. I don't get why that transition was never made, but it's not for me to understand. But the comments are overwhelming, and so many people had never heard of me before. And I said, listen, if you never heard of me before, there's quite a backstory. Some of it I'm discussing now on podcasts. I did Howie Mandel's podcast. I did Mark Maron's podcast, WTF, and we really get into a lot of it. And little by little, I sort of reveal myself on this podcast. I'm trying to on stage. Okay, I'm trying to, but I feel every time I get serious, it just doesn't work. Like, it's easier for me to attack the world than to attack what's wrong with Orny Adams. So if I say anything, like I'm talking about now being my age and never having been married or have kids, and who do I leave my money to, my wealth, my empire, my 1963 Shasta, who do I leave this to? Who do I leave Big Yellow, my recording studio, to? So the comments... And it's amazing. It's interesting to see, because I'll put up even videos of this podcast and they get seen a little bit, and I share them traditionally on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and other forms of social media, and it just doesn't get going. But the algorithm, my enemy, my entire career online so far, likes Orny Adams More Than Loud, likes my special. Somehow the algorithm finally likes me. We're friends. I'm friends with the algorithm now. I still don't understand the algorithm, but somehow it's working. So all these kind and gracious comments, and also now a lot of comments coming in through the podcast email, whatswrong@ornieadams.com, because now people are like, whoa, who's this guy? I like his stand-up. Let me check out his other stand-up special, Takes the Third. Let me look at these clips. Look, here he is on The Tonight Show and Letterman and up in Montreal and all these clips, and he's got a podcast. And so now a lot of people, a lot of new listeners. So thank you to all the new listeners here. What's Wrong with Ornie Adams? Please like, subscribe, share, write a review, and send me your kidney. And I will continue to grovel for you. I will continue to grovel for you. But there was this one comment that cracks me up. I have a new philosophy on trolls. If trolls mean you're doing something right, that's what I'm discovering, because this is sort of a moment for me. I'm having a moment with More Than Loud, my comedy special, and the trolls are out. And I go, oh, this is how it works. This is when the hate comes. This is when they see something's hot. It's like the green flies at the beach, at Salisbury Beach. They only come out when there are people and food, and they attack. They attack. That's what these green flies, these trolls are, just green flies. And it's interesting. It's interesting because trolls are funny because they try and be clever with their insults. And they're not clever. They're losers. They're straight up losers. It's like, I can't believe people are still trolling in 2022. You've been unmasked. We see through you. We see through your pain. Your power is not what it once was. You gotta move on. Take your trolling energy and go somewhere else. Be productive. The amount of, like, pain that reveals itself on the internet is astonishing. It really is. I look at things, I go, this is so transparent to me. Does this person not understand that I see through them, that we all see through you now? Now, valid criticism, I welcome. And there's certainly room for it. And we're always, as a comedian, I'm always improving my art. And if I didn't, then I'm getting out of the business. If I'm just walking it through, then I, adios, Ornie. No more. But the trolls. Just all the negative. All the, like, the people on TikTok and Instagram and places like that that are trying to just get views by taking innocent people and antagonizing them and getting them to react on camera. That's what I'm sick of, really. It disgusts me when somebody's out in public. Like, I saw one the other day. A guy is outside of a restaurant, pointing his camera into the restaurant, videotaping. I think it's a restaurant. It was definitely a shop of sorts. And the shop owner came out and said, hey, hi, what are you filming for? I have the right to film. Hi, we know you have the right to film. What are you filming for? And on the video, it said, another Karen loses it. For the woman never lost it. She was polite. She's like, well, could I ask you not to film? And he said, sure, you can ask me not to film. Now, this guy's trying to get a rise out of her. What kind of human being does this? And then another employee comes out, and they're also reasonable, like, hey, you know, could you not film? And then they close the blinds, like, oh, they're closing the blinds. What kind of human is that? What kind of human? I see these other guys, they're like vigilantes, and they go into, like, police station parking lots, and they'll film, and the police come on and go, hey, can we ask you what you're filming? No, you don't have the right. What's your badge number? What's your name and badge number? We just like to know what you're filming for. I have the right. This is public property. Due to code number 1852B, I have the right to. And they start, do you know the law? They start quizzing the cops. It's like, these cops, they just want to protect us. Yeah, there are some bad cops, but there are a shit ton of great cops. And without cops, let me tell you something. We have a lot of less cops here in Los Angeles, and it's feeling a little bit unsafe. And there's a lot of unlawlessness. Okay? I didn't have cable for a week. Why? Because thieves are stealing the copper cables, okay? They're stealing from the cable companies. The cables that you see in the air, they are clipping them, stealing them, and selling them on the black market. And you call the police. There's people up here clipping the wire. You think they have time to come up? They're like, hey, we're dealing with like shootings, stabbings, high-speed chases. We got groups of 30 people running into the pharmacies and stealing stuff off the shelf. Kind of don't have time to help you people with your cable wire. It was clipped not once, but twice. Twice in a week. This is what happens when there are no police. It's got to stop. Stop antagonizing police and innocent people. Seriously. And then even like online. So it brings me right back to what I was talking about, which is the comments. They're trying to get a rise out of me. I got to tell you something. Not anymore. I've been around too long. It doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. And so here's a comment. Amongst, I would say, at this point, this was about a couple of weeks ago before the video really started to jump. And man, is it jumping. Oh, I don't want to jinx it. Sorry, I didn't say that. Take that back. Here is Jose. Is it just me? This is a comment under my video, More Than Loud, which is on YouTube, under my channel, Orny Adams on YouTube. Is it just me, or does it... Okay, I want to say this clean. Is it just me, or does this guy's show suck big time? Question mark. I mean, the guy clearly lacks creativity and needs to shit on other people. Damn it, I didn't put the reads more. Now I don't, this doesn't work. This doesn't work because he said more and I think he took the comment down. Because I wrote back, your comment sucks big time. I mean, you clearly lack creativity and desperately need to shit on people in comments under their videos. Maybe it's just me, but I expect and hope for more from my fellow humans. There are some comments, there are some great comments under this video, and you need to learn from them. Hope this comes, yeah, because he said you need to learn. Again, I hate this. You need to learn. Be better. This sucks. Anyway, Jose wrote back, nice comment. Now he appreciates my work. Either way, at least this show sucked for those who are not over 40 or something, but it looks like maybe you do have some comedic skills. Yeah, I think so. Looking forward to having a special about something other than shitting on other people. I don't know what he's talking about. That's not what this special's about. Watch it. I would gladly watch that and even pay to go watch a given show. Please excuse my ignorance about your repertoire, whatever that means. If you do have other shows about other stuff, please point them out to me and I will inform myself. What am I? Is this a bot? Hope to hear back from you. Kudos for tending to your YouTube comments. It takes time and effort, but it is appreciated. Have a great day. What happened was I took... This bit sucked. I took his comment and just turned it completely around him, meaning you need to learn. And then I said, well, you need to learn from the other comments. And it was clever. It was such a cleverly written piece, and screw me for not expanding the more now when I did the screenshot and printed it out. And I think that here's the thing. I think Jose deleted it. I think he deleted his comment. And sometimes some of these trolls, and he wasn't a troll. I think he actually felt the way he felt. And that was his criticism, which I appreciate and I respect. But I'm going to attack it. I think some of these trolls, not Jose, just want attention. They just want attention. Here's an email that came in, a nice one from DP. She said, use my initials. Hi, Orny. WWWOA question mark. How about WWWDP? That's her name. Well, you can start your own podcast. I had one of your YouTubes on my TV last night, and I put my sleep timer on. By the way, I think people that watch YouTube on Apple TV, you can't comment or like it. It's like really difficult to do. That is a flaw in the system. So I put on the sleep timer so I could fall asleep laughing. Instead, I got insomnia by osmosis. If you were not so funny, I could have gotten some sleep. What's worse, after I did doze off, I woke up troubled thinking something was wrong in the middle of the night. You are now an insomnia super spreader. That's right. Don't try and sleep through my content. You're delightfully clever. I have listened also to some of your podcasts. Well, thank you. Like, subscribe, share, write reviews, and send me your kidney. And because I am older than you, oh, great. Another fan that's going to be dead before I can monetize them for several years. I can say by observation, it is in your nature to be funny. You can't help it. That's right. I'm just oozing with funny. You make me laugh out loud, not just a grin or an acquiescing nod, but a real laugh. Love it. You know what I do like about my fans? Is they're so articulate. Beautiful grasp on the English language. Remember that kid in Singapore? I don't know where he's been. Hope he's still okay. What you have other comedians do not is that your generosity to share it and not make people pay for every thought you have. Well, I'd like you to pay. I'd like you to go on Patreon. And I kind of disagree with this because I find the most successful comedians right now are just putting it all out there in a way that I would never put it out there. I just wouldn't. I think I deserve privacy. I think my family deserves privacy. I think the people in my life deserve privacy. I'll give a little, but I'm not giving all of it. And I think that has inhibited and blocked my career in a sense. You have no need to use profanity or stoop to the dark or dirty humor. Well, it's just not my style. I want everyone to feel comfortable up there, and that's just not who I am, and it is who some people are, and they should do it. Oh, she lost her Vietnam veteran husband last Thanksgiving due to COVID-19. Wait a minute. Does that mean it's real? Sorry about that, DP. Wow. Well, listen, it's always good to find laughter in dark times. I love that you talk about something funny, and then under your breath, there is sub-humor going on. This is the longest email ever. This is unbelievable. It makes me have to be an intense listener. That's right, for the nuances, she says. Anyway, it ends by saying, you are blessing people by being you. That's right. Fooey on the rest of the world. Dirty language, fooey. And then it ends with a, of course, she brings a Bible into it. The Lord bless you. This is a quote. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may, this sounds like Bob Dylan. May the Lord bless and always, may the Lord bless and always, may the Lord bless and keep you always. May you always be, oh, build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. And may you stay forever young. May the Lord bless and keep you always. Now that I read this, I forgot my one of my favorite Dylan songs, Bob Dylan. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. Countenance? Isn't that, well, you can't go to the bathroom? You can't keep it in? Incontinence? I hope the Lord puts his non-continence on me and give you peace. Thank you, DP. She gave me permission to read that email. That went better than the Jose comment. Man, I was so proud of it. And I sent somebody screenshots. Let me see if I can find the screen. That'd be going back to, forget it. Who cares? Ugh, I'm such a completist. I want to do it. And then here's the other thing. Under the comments, I'm doing a lot of this. Here's another comment that I like to put under a lot of them. I like to tell them that I'm planning on shooting a new special. And then I like to say, hey, come see me live someday. And every time I'm like, is it someday one word or someday two words? I always do two words. And I'll tell you why. The grammarist, according to grammars, the one word adverb someday works when describing an indefinite future time. In other words, I'd like to see him again someday. Oh, shit, maybe it is one word. Someday is two words when it refers to a single day. Yeah, this is a single day event, seeing me live. Even if that day is unknown or not specific. I have an appointment someday, two words, next month. So I think I'm right. According to Grammarly, someday means at an indefinite time in the future, and someday, two words, refers to one day that is perhaps unknown or unspecified. Why don't we just pick one? Someday, one word, I will invest in a new laptop. I want you to come see me someday. Someday. I still think it's two words. Then they give examples. I have a doctor's appointment someday next month. Two words. She scheduled a meeting for someday, two words, in August. I don't know. I really wish I had a better grasp on grammar. I think it's two words. If it isn't, everyone go up on my More Than Loud and just video on YouTube and just go, what's up with that? Dude, you're funny, but you're stupid. Yeah, I'm a mental invalid. What's up with summer colds? Is that the worst when you get a cold in the summer? You're like, what's going on here? It's called a cold. It's not called a summer. Boy, that's hacky. Doing physical therapy for my knee. And I finally figured it out after a bunch of sessions. You got to go in there and sort of yell at these people. You have to treat them like the audience sometimes because they'll overwork you. It's like you have to go and go, I get it. First of all, I would never date a physical therapist. In fact, I don't want to be friends with physical therapists or dentists because these groups of people, they're never happy. They always want more. Like you go to the dentist, they're like, are you brushing your teeth? Yeah, after every meal? Yeah. Are you brushing this way? No, I brush this. Well, that's wrong. Brush this way. Are you flossing three times a day? Yeah, I sure am. Eight times. Floss eight times. Same with physical therapy. Are you stretching before the workout? Yeah. Do you stretch after the workout? Yeah. How about in the middle? Are you stopping in the middle and stretching? Like, no. Well, you need to do that. Like, these people are never happy. And the physical therapist, first of all, dentists take their teeth too seriously, and physical therapists take their bodies too seriously. Most of these people are ex-athletes. Like, one of the people working on me was in the Olympics, okay? I'm not Olympic level of physique. You don't need to prove to me I don't need to test my body to those limits. They do this thing called blood flow restriction where they put a tourniquet on my knee, on my thigh, actually right near my groin. Okay, they tie it up like it's an Army Hammer date. They tie it up and they cut all the blood flow to my knee. In my knee, you should see pictures of this. My entire leg turns blue. It bloats up, turns blue, and then they make me do all these exercises. I can't breathe. You feel like you want to throw up, and they're like, keep going. And then I guess the theory is that you take the tourniquet off, and all the new blood flushes to the injury and helps it. Well, guess what? I don't need to do that. You know why? I'm not playing in the Super Bowl next week. That's why I can't stand these physical therapists. So now I go and I go, all right, settle down. First of all, we're not doing blood flow restriction anymore, okay? The other thing is, I just want to know stretches that can help because this is what hurts. And I control the tempo. I take over. Same with the dentist. Settle down. Of course, you know, we mock the dentist, but the minute you get like a little bit of pain, you're like, and you go in there and you're like asking for forgiveness and I'll do better next time and I'll floss and you were right and I should listen. I should have brushed this way. And it's probably the same with the physical therapist. All of them got to settle down. Remember on the last episode, episode 60, when I didn't even know what episode it was, I'm like, is this episode 50? Is this 40? I think I thought it was 40. I mean, that's mental invalidism. I got a new chair. Remember my chair broke? Remember that? I had a Eames replica chair. Now, the Eames chair is about $8,000. So I bought the knockoff, but I bought it from a very high-end furniture store. And I would bring it back broken, but the furniture store went out of business. And this is the theory that I have. I think because I kept waiting for the chair and they kept saying, oh, it's going to be on the next ship from China. And this is pre-COVID. Oh, it's coming on the next. And it wasn't coming. And I think what they did was, because I knew they were going out of business, I think they just ordered me a cheaper version and just sent it to me to shut me up. And then they just shut the doors and they don't care. That's what I think. I think I got scammed because this chair was expensive. And it seems very cheap compared to the new one that I got. So here's what happened. I talked about this on the podcast, and this is the way I would think social media works and the world works because I do have a decent following and a lot of people listen to this podcast and it's growing. A company heard it and they said, you know what? We make that chair. or we sell that chair. And so they said, we'd like to send you one and make a video in exchange. I said, I'll do that. I love to make videos. And, you know, my only concern was if their chair wasn't decent quality, what do? And I thought I could send it back, or I could actually pay for the chair. But the chair came in it. The quality was remarkable. The problem with this partnership, which feels dirty to me, but I guess it's the same as reading an ad. I'd read ads on this podcast. If somebody contacted me and said, hey, I'll pay you X amount to read this ad, I'd read the ad. So I don't, but it just feels weird. Like, I don't like saying like, subscribe, share, write a review, and give me a kidney. I don't like saying that. I don't know why. I'm stubborn. There's still some pure artist left in me, or expressionist. So they send me the chair. The chair arrives right, and there's a lot of back and forth. I'm like, listen, I want to make sure the quality's right. Could you tell me what kind of veneer you're using, the leather, all this? I compared it to, could you tell me what the difference between this chair, which is highly reviewed on the internet, and your chair is? And they were very anxious to get me the chair. They got me the chair, and then I was away for a week. And the whole week, they're like, sir, where is video? I think they're in another country, because it just feels like they're in another country. Chair arrived in 3 days, so I think they must have a warehouse. I know they have a warehouse in California, and they'll ship right away. I thought the customer service response was exceptional, which to me is a big deal when I'm choosing who to go, what company to go with, and especially when you're deciding to buy a chair online that's over $1,000. Sight unseen, it's hard to spend that kind of money. So they made me feel comfortable. But they were very persistent. Where's the video? Hey, I'm not gonna be able to get the video for 2 weeks. Where's the video? And I'm like, you gotta. So then I just stopped responding. And finally, I made the video. And I didn't make the video. I forced it. I wish I had more time. I would have set up lighting. I would have made the audio better. I would have thought about the script more. Maybe I would have edited. But you know what? Screw you. You want the video? Here's your video. And it came out pretty good. And I put it up, and then it became, are you going to promote this? Yeah, I'll promote it. I put it on Twitter. Then it became, hey, here's a thumbnail. Can you use this thumb? Yeah, I'll use this thumbnail. Can you change the name of the video from the, and I'm like, okay, now, you know, just me doing the video is work. You can take the video and share it with potential customers. You can share it. You can promote it. Do what you want with it. Okay. But I didn't sign up. This isn't a full-time job for me. And now you're being too aggressive. And they just kept pushing and pushing. When are you going to put it on Twitter? I put it on Twitter. Then our team thinks you should put it on TikTok and Insta. Well, no, I'm not. Sorry. I said to them very clearly, I said, I agree to do a YouTube video. Let's watch it grow organically. Maybe, you know, I'm thinking I got a video. I got my stand-up videos doing really well. Maybe other people will find it. But they're impatient and pushing and pushing. And then they asked, they said, you made us, because there's a code. And if you use my code, you get $30 off. And then they send me some money. Not a lot of money. But they said, hey, you have a sale. And I go on. There's a tracking system on their website. Okay. And I can see how many people have used my code. It says zero. So I'm a little skeptical because I didn't respond to the last 5 emails. So I'm thinking maybe because they got too pushy. And I wanted to see what it could do just on YouTube, and then we'll push it. So I thought I thought maybe they're just trying to get my attention by saying that I had my assistant respond and say, hey, listen, that's great. Just send the money via PayPal, which is the agreement on their website. They say, we can't send the money until we have your passport photo. Passport photo? Okay, now I'm thinking, are they scamming me? So assistant writes back, What do you need a passport photo for? They said, we can't send money until we have passport photo. Ready for this? And social security number. So he writes back and says, we don't give out social security number. We don't know who you are. This isn't the agreement. So if you're not going to send the money, we're just severing. So we're going to sever this partnership. So he wrote back and said, send the money here. They never sent the money for 3 days. I took the video down. Feels like a scam. I could be wrong. I'll update you in 62 if they write back. But is there a scam where they send potential influencers product and then try and get them to give over their passport photo? What are they going to make my passport? They're going to clone my passport and social security number? You're not getting my social security number. No way. First of all, any sort of business like that, I'm a corporation. You have my federal ID. I'll send you my federal ID number, okay? And also, we're talking about such small money, it's not going to meet a tax threshold for quite a bit. So I call scam. And the chair's great. The quality of the chair is so much superior to the other one. The leather smells like leather, looks gorgeous. The wood is gorgeous. The only problem is the Eames... And the good Eames or some Eames replicas use these rubber shock mounts on the side, which gives the chair a little give. I tell you to go watch the video, but I took it down. And this one uses metal, and it'll last forever because the rubber shocks, they give in and it breaks. And that's what happened to my replica. It's what happens to Eames. So these ones are made out of metal. And it's a stiffer chair, but Ken, my neighbor Ken, liked it. Likes it better. It's like a firm mattress. Have you watched? Moving on. Ken and I fixing stuff around my house. Ken fixed, we had a battery problem here in the Shasta. Ken fixed it. Ken fixes a lot of things. He fixed my water filter under my sink. And Ken and I, and the banter between Ken and I, it's so funny. Like, go, I think it's on YouTube. It's called How to Fix a Running Toilet. And I started filming Ken secretly because it's just so funny the way we go back and forth. And I put it up on YouTube. People love Ken. People love, he's from Oklahoma. He's older than me. My mom thought it was like elder abuse. She's like, I felt bad for Ken. I go, don't feel bad for Ken. He's rugged. Ken's got a workshop. He's got a huge house and he fixes everything. He's great. I enjoy fixing things with Ken. I enjoy when we do things. And the banter is really funny. But I had to fix... my toilet just kept running. In the old days, you had a toilet had like a balloon, like a rubber balloon that would rise up and down. And if you had to stop it, you just pick the balloon up and then put it down. And the parts were right there. Like, I remember my first car was a Volkswagen Rabbit. And you could open the hood and you could see everything. You could see the spark plugs if you needed to change something. It was so simple. It was intuitive. Now, you open it up, it looks like a suitcase cover. And I guess the engine's under there. I don't even know. And I should talk about my oil change too. I can't get an oil change. Anyway, so Ken and I fixed this toilet. I love the video. I love the video of me and Ken because the banter to me is so funny because I don't know anything. I just learned from Ken. Like, Ken thought maybe there was a leak in the actual bowl, the toilet bowl. And he said, we'll know exactly where the leak is by how far down the water goes because it only goes as low as the leak. Now, this is great information. And I want to share this information with people. So I made this video. And first I had to go to Home Depot and buy the part. And I bought the part and I won't recap everything that happened with fixing it, but there is the video. And as I'm, so I put the part in and there's one part missing. And it's this plastic tube that goes from the refiller, the thing that causes the water to come into the bowl. And then the other thing that goes into the toilet. There's a plastic tube. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not Ken. So that was missing from the, that's it. Everything else was there. This is a $25 part that you get at these stores. And that part was missing. Probably a 50-cent plastic part. And I'm a completist. Ken said, you don't need it. Just use the old one. The old one will last forever. And I said, yeah, but I just want to have it just to have his backup. And I paid for it. So I go back to the store. I don't want to say which big box store it was. And they, I said, could I just get this plastic tube? This was missing. And I put the old broken part in there. And they said, no, you have to return this. I said, but this isn't anything. This is just the broken part. I just need that. She didn't want to listen. Young person in her 20s, didn't want to listen. No, you have to return this and exchange it and buy a new one. I go, but I just need the little plastic. No, you have to do. So essentially, that store lost. I don't know what they're doing. Do you understand? All I need. So now they give me a brand new. Now I have an extra one. They give me a brand new. This is how dumb employees are. She's not even listening. I'm like, no, I don't need everything. I don't need the main part. I have the main part. It's in my toilet. This is the old main part. I just need the little plastic part. No, well, you have to exchange it, full exchange. So I have to go to the shelf and get the new one. And then she takes the old one, throws it in some bin behind her. Because nobody's listening. They could have just given me a plaque. This is what you do if you own the store. Okay. Let's go over to the shelf together, you and I. Maybe the plastic part fell out. Maybe it's over there. Maybe there's two in another box. And we just, maybe that happened. Who knows? Maybe somebody stole the plastic because they didn't get it in their package. Okay, now we're gonna discount this one, 20%. It's just, this world, nobody's thinking. Nobody's thinking, what's the difference between someday and someday? Nobody's thinking. Army Hammer isn't thinking. Should I talk about that documentary? Should I talk about me and Howie Mandel on the road? Oh, then that's where this happened. I'm going through the self-checkout there at this store, and I'm buying a few items. And that's when I noticed the person looking at me. I go, this is unbelievable. And that's when, dang, the comic light went off. I go, wait a minute. Everybody's talked about self-checkout. I've been talking about self-checkout so long. My old self-checkout joke, I don't even do anymore. I used to do a joke about how you have to put everything in your bag, then take it out of the bag, scan it, put it back into the bag. Like, I just walk out, you know? Like, I used to do a joke like that. And so now that joke I don't even do anymore because I'm sick of talking about bringing our own bags. And so now the new joke, which I feel is a new angle. I love finding topics that people talk about and find the new angle. Like, why does it really bother us? I'll tell you why it really bothers us. Because we're doing their work and their job is now to watch us do their job. And employees watching me self-checkout. Like, your job is now to be on break, oversee. Now you're the manager of checkout? Everything about it bothers me. That bothers me. And yet we just accept it. Another thing we just accept. Another thing. Jeez. You're listening to Orny Adams. If you want to contact me, if you have questions, comments about this podcast, what's wrong at ornyadams.com. You can listen on Spotify. You can listen on iTunes. You can like, you can subscribe, you can share, you can send me your kidney. You can watch this episode within a day on patreon.com/orny, $5 a month. That's it. You get everything. You can also just binge watch and unsubscribe. But a lot of people are there just to support me, which I appreciate. So thank you to those hardcore people. I appreciate it. Had a lot of difficulty doing this podcast because one, I had no Wi-Fi for a week. Then the heat wave is 300 degrees here in Los Angeles, actually topped out at 300 degrees. People from hell were coming to Earth to cool off. That's how bad it was. A lot of good documentaries I'm watching. A lot of good ones. Watching this, I think it's Discovery Plus, this Army Hammer, the House of Hammer. This is what I don't get. I wasn't going to talk about this today, but then I saw another trending topic was that guy Adam Levine got busted sending sexy texts. Says he doesn't cheat to a model. Sexy. Why do celebrities? I'm barely a celebrity. I'm more guarded than them. Like, I used to take risks. Now I don't say any. Like, so many times I think of a joke, I go, I'm not going to say it because if it's misinterpreted or a person takes a screenshot and they share it. Like, I'm barely a celebrity. I'm more guarded. In fact, dating sucks nowadays because you have to be so guarded. You can't be fun. You can't go for it. You have to sort of, like, you don't even if you're just flirting, like, innocently, you don't want that person to take screenshots and put it up and humiliate you. So I'm guarded. I'm guarded. I'm more guarded. That's where I am in the modern world. I don't take the risks. So I spend more time with myself, because when you spend time with yourself, you know, I'm not going to cancel me. I don't think. So anyway, this Hammer documentary, oh, it's unbelievable. Armie Hammer's an actor. He's the, I think, grandson or great-grandson of Armin Hammer, who, was it Occidental Oil? He owned an oil company in Texas, made a ton of money. Turns out he was corrupt. And the document reveals he's involved with the Soviet Union and the KGB, and that he's an abuser. Then his son's an abuser. Then the father of that guy abuses the daughter, Casey. Casey's the aunt to Armie. Armie is abusing people. He's an actor. Now, this is all in the documentary. I have no opinion. I'm regurgitating what I'm hearing. I'm not responsible for these words. The documentary is. In the documentary now, one of the women that was portrayed or featured in the documentary, Effie, they use screenshots, again, screenshots from Armie Hammer's conversation, saying that I think he wanted to rape her and tie her up and put a knife to her neck and make her beg and crawl away. I mean, really deplorable. I don't know what planet I live on that this is going on. I'm missing half the world, half of the CD world. CD, S-E-E-D-Y, the seediness. I'll go to parties. We'll leave the party and people, do you see all the coke? No, nobody offered me coke. Nobody's ever offered me coke because they know I'm not a coke guy. No one offers me anything. They don't even offer me a drink. You know, when the tray comes by, like in the movies with the champagne, goes right by me. Sometimes I have to go, hey, have you seen the chicken skewer? Where's the chicken skewer guy? Meanwhile, everyone's having a party in the back with drugs and orgies, and I'm not invited. Most of the documentary was based upon Casey Hammer, who in 2015 wrote a memoir called Surviving My Birthright. She's a sister of Armie's father, Michael, and granddaughter of Armie's great-grandfather, sexual abuse assault. Oh, wait a minute. That's Armie. Is accused of sexual abuse, assault, and cannibalism. She, quote, had a front row seat to the mayhem. Casey, who accused Armie's parents of cutting her completely off. Yeah, she's got completely cut off. That's all I want to know is, Armie Hammer had all this money. Who got what? That's all I care about. Because if you're Armie Hammer, you're an actor, you have all this money, why can't you just enjoy that? Why do so many people with a lot of money just keep screwing up? Why? Why not just take the money and just go on a beach and chill out? Like, they must feel so guilty that they're just risking things in order to be found out. Now, this was generational abuse. The grandfather was abused. His son, Armand, his sons, now the great-grandson, Armie. It's passed on generational abuse. And they really detail it in the documentary. And Armin Hammer, when I was a kid, my dad gave me his book, his autobiography to read. I said, read about this guy. You want to be a successful business person? Read what he did. Well, it turns out he's in bed with the Soviet Union. Turns out he's bribing people. That's what I should have done. I should have been bribing people. Early on, I should have bribed club owners. I should have bribed executives. I should be bribing people now. I can't even get people to like, subscribe, and share and all that. I have no business sense. It never occurred to me to bribe. You know why I don't bribe? Because I thought I had the God-given talent to make people laugh. I see it on tape. I see it on stage every night. I thought, I don't need the gimmick of bribing. Buying viewers. It's all a game. You stupid idiots fall for it. Why can't you fall for genuine talent more often? I mean, I know you do. I'm putting this on myself. Anyway, one of the, in the Armie Hammer documentary, Effie, they took screenshots. Again, why this guy doesn't protect himself more? He's married and he's sending women screenshots and he's sending multiple women the same. He's got the same playbook for everybody. She said that Army was degrading and belittling, and that she feels like the documentary is re-traumatizing her, that she didn't want to be part of this documentary and they didn't ask her. But the documentary said, we don't have to ask you. Why do we have to ask you? It's our duty to tell the story. A lot of people don't want to be in documentaries. There'll be no documentaries. There'll be no movies if we couldn't just put people in. You know, we don't have to get your permission. This is on public record, your screenshots and your story. And they pulled like a clip of her talking maybe on a podcast or something. So there's this debate going on, you know, victim versus documentary. And it's interesting. And I'm curious where you stand with all that. Because I've been in a documentary. So I'm fascinated by documentaries. I really am. I really am. But yeah, there's a lot of abuse out there. A lot of bad people. Protect yourselves. A lot of bad people. We're not talking just like sort of bad. Like not just like sort of one mistake. I mean like habitual. Compulsive. Serial. Abusers. People that get off on pain. Trolling pain, commenting pain, vigilantes, people in, not vigilantes, but people in stores and antagonizing and instigating people for a reaction. And then there's just pure abuse. And again, I don't know the story. I don't know firsthand anything. I only know what I've read and what I've seen in this documentary. So protect yourself. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. Now, I want to talk quickly two things and just and then get out of here. But this has been fun. I forgot what it's like to do a podcast on my own. It's fun. When I was in the hardware store, I was on the phone with my parents. I had the earbuds in and I'm talking and a guy comes up to me and says, Orny Adams? He goes, Orny Adams. Like that. I said, hey. He said, how you doing? I go, good, good, good. I said, I'm sorry, do we know each other? And he said, no. I'm a fan. I'm a young comic. I love your work. I said, I'm on the phone with my parents. I said, can we talk? Because any interruption to my parents, what is that? What? Hello? What's that noise? Hey, Mom, Dad, sorry. Somebody just approached me in the store. What? What? What is that? You like you go into the car, slam the, what? What was that noise? Any interruption derails all their thoughts, the momentum, they can't handle it. They start spazzing out, right? So I'm just sort of like, hey, I'm on the phone with my parents. I go, I'll be in this aisle trying to find a rubber tube. I'm getting a free part for my toilet because this store can't figure out how to do an exchange for one little part. So I said, come find, guy never found me. I felt so guilty. I circled that store three times. People think I'm stupid. I've told this story. They're like, what, to find the guy? I go, yeah, I don't want the guy to leave thinking that, like, I was arrogant or I wasn't happy he approached me. Like, I'm so insecure. I don't know who this comic is. I was hoping he would find me on Instagram and say, hey, dude, I was the guy who just approached you in that store. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But meanwhile, he interrupts me. I feel bad. So he never did. So now I'm on the podcast talking about if you're the young comic, male comic that came up to me in a hardware store and I was on the phone with my parents, I apologize. I wanted to talk to you. I don't mind when people come up to me. I mind when people sneak pictures of me. That bothers me. At least just say hi. All right. Email for the podcast is whatswrong@ornyadams.com. You can go to teamwhatswrong.com for everything. I just got back last week. I was on tour with Howie Mandel and we were in New York, Long Island. Then we did two shows in New Hampshire. We were together for a couple days and it was fun to get to know Howie because I did Howie's podcast. I sort of called him out on something and I didn't think he liked it. I feel like there was a lot of tension. And when I left that podcast, I didn't feel good about myself. I thought I damaged my friendship with Howie. And I thought Howie and I will never be in touch. And then about 2 weeks later, I was home in Boston and I got a text from his assistant or his road manager, Rich. And he said, hey, dude, Howie wants to take you out on tour. We're going here next week. We fly private jet. Do you want to join us? I call my manager. I go, what do you think? And he said, do it. Do it for the experience. And so I did it. And the shows, the show in Long Island was fantastic. And the New Hampshire shows were good. It was good to sort of be home in the area. My dad came out. My sisters with their husbands came out. My mom didn't come out because she was worried about COVID. But I just feel so fortunate to be able to do shows and have my family come out. Now, it isn't my audience. This is what's strange. This is what's wrong with Orny Adams. This is what's so strange. I was more worried about the shows than anybody else. Than Howie, than anybody. It's strange. It's strange how serious I take everything. So, for instance, when we were leaving, and I can see like my face is blown out on the camera. That's what's great about working in variable lighting here in Big Shasta in Big Yellow. Is that throughout the day the sun comes and goes, and then all of a sudden I look blown out. I look blown out. I pray one day I will be able to have somebody in here. Oh, I just shut the light. What is? Why is my face? You know what it is? Maybe it's the side light. I pray someday I have a team. That's what I pray for. I feel like I look like an angel. The sun must be bouncing off a piece of metal or something in there. Anyway, so I'm the only one on the tour. So on Friday, this is the schedule. We're flying in a private jet to Long Island. We get off the private jet. We get in a car. We go straight to the venue. I get on stage. I said, feels like we're cutting it a little bit close, leaving at 9:30 to go to the East Coast for a show that starts at 8. Well, turns out I'm right because the jet's delayed. Then the jet gets delayed even more, right? Now we go to Howie's office to hang out and wait for the jet. Now the jet has mechanical problems and they can't get us another jet. So now, even if we left within a half hour, we're getting there at 8:15, okay? Howie's just sitting there making TikToks, just having conversation. He's not worried at all. I'm in complete panic mode, okay? What just happened? The sun just changed again. I'm in complete panic mode. I'm thinking, what's going to happen? We can't miss a show. Like, should we get an opening act to go on and stall? So then when we show up, I'll go right on stage. Like, what do we do? Howie's just sitting there all nonchalant. Like, yeah, it's cool, dude. We'll get there. And if we don't get there, then it doesn't I go, no, we can't miss a show. But here's the thing. What I discovered is even with somebody else doing all my travel, flying private, having cars, I still can't relax. I still can't relax. And Howie is like so chill and cool. Like, it was such a pleasure. We had so much fun together, just laughing and making fun of things. And the fans that came up to Howie, which is 90% of them, and the 10% that knew me, it was fun. It was fun. It was a really cool break. And I appreciate Howie taking me out and doing that. It was fun. But what I learned about myself is even if it's not my show, even if I'm not worried about selling tickets, okay, I worry about other things. Oh, and most importantly, and then we'll bring it home. So thank you, Howie. And I'm glad that our friendship is back. And then Howie invited me to a taping of America's Got Talent. And I went to that the following week. Here's the thing. Okay. And this will make no sense to you. But I think I was so anxious. I was so anxious about doing this tour that I forgot all my toiletries. I have two big bags of toiletries. Now, I downsized to a smaller suitcase because I didn't need as much. I forgot everything to brush my teeth, floss, all the stuff, my hair gels. So now I had to find hair gel on the road. And I got to tell you something, okay? I got to tell you something. I got to shut this door. I got to tell you something. I gotta tell you something. The sun's ridiculous right now on my face. I gotta tell you something. Okay? There we go. Now that looks better. I got to tell you something. I can't do a show if I don't have the right hair gel. I was self-conscious the whole time. Howie and I walked to a pharmacy. We walked for miles, and like I think we were in Nashua, New Hampshire, or something, or where I don't know where we were. I can't remember. We walked for miles, and I'm looking at all these. All I want is my gel. I mix two kinds of gels. I travel with 5 hair gels, and depending on the mood of my hair, I design the proper mixture. And like right now, hold on, let me see what my hair looks like. Hair's looking pretty good. Hair is looking pretty on point. Excuse me. Okay? I was self-conscious the whole time. And I came downstairs and I said to them, night one. Or night two. Now the hair looks horrible. I said, my hair gel's not right, but I'm still going to do the show. And I meant it. Episode 61 is done. Thank you, Ernesto Hurtado, for mastering this audio. I want to thank everyone. I'll be curious what happens to that chair. I wonder what that company's really up to, asking for my social security number. I don't like that. And thank you, Ken. Oh, by the way, Ken, the agreement was, bringing this down with Ken, I said, Ken, fix the old chair, which he did. I said, fix it like it's going to be yours. And if you do really well and I get a new chair, you can have it. I didn't think maybe I'd want to put that chair in another room of my house, which is what I ended up wanting to do. Because that chair, I loved it. I had it for a few years. It was like an old glove. I just fell into it. It absorbed me like a pillow. And people love the way I say pillow. I always make fun of it on stage. And so I had to be true to my word, and I gave Ken the chair. So Ken has my old chair, which is fair because he helped me fix my toilet, my sink, and my Shasta, and the chair. So thank you, Ken, for everything. And please watch that video. I think you'll really get a kick out of it. I didn't get to talk about my oil change, but we talked about so much other stuff. So thank you for listening. Thank you for my Patreon subscribers. Please like and share. Do everything. Help me out a little bit. And if you haven't had a chance, I implore you to go to YouTube and watch More Than Loud, my last stand-up special. According to the comments, it still holds up. And I'm planning on shooting another one. I'm going to shoot another one this year. So stay tuned, and thank you for listening. And we'll chat soon, right? Yeah? Okay. Have a good day, everybody. And don't email me and ask for my social security number.